Hi, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Hi. Welcome to the Keeping It Simple, the Power of Simplicity meeting. I'm your speaker for this evening, and please, after a moment of silence, join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recordings allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are of those individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please come up to the podium and read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous?
Sure. Thank you.
Right here. Hi. Grateful abstaining compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Great. Thank you. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Keeping It Simple, the Power of Simplicity. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. And again, my name is Greg. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. I'm glad I'm not here by myself speaking into a microphone. So I will start with just qualifying really quickly. I came into program in April or May 2006. I have 7 years free from purging and 6.5 years of abstinence. My top weight was about 50 pounds heavier than I am right now, and my bottom weight was about 15 to 20 pounds lighter than I am right now. And that's all one day at a time, and such a gift from this program, and I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity to be here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to pass around a couple of photos of me. I don't have many photos of me at really any weight because I never liked having my photo taken. So these are some of the rare few that still exist. There is one photo that has a Post-it on it, and there's some food items underneath it. So I've covered them, but, you know, feel free to look if you want to. Okay. So, you know, the topic again of this meeting is Keeping It Simple, the Power of Simplicity. And, you know, it was so funny because I was completely stressing myself out today. What am I going to talk about? I don't know what to say. How do I keep it simple? I don't really know. And I realized I was making myself crazy about keeping it simple. And it's like, why don't I keep it simple and just share my experience, strength, and hope? And so that's kind of what I'm going to do today and just talk about how I apply keeping it simple to my life. And, you know, when I think of keeping it simple, I also think of, like, just don't make it complicated. And I also think of, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Because in my life, I want everything to be perfect at all times. And usually when I'm striving for perfection, I'm making things way more complicated than they need to be. You know, and this just happened today. yesterday when I arrived and I got the agenda for the next, you know, for yesterday and today and tomorrow, and there are so many wonderful sessions that I wanted to go to, and marathon meetings and panels and workshops, and I started to try to figure out a schedule of how I could attend everything. And I started to make myself a little bit crazy. I'm like, well, if I leave this meeting early and go to this one, and then I duck out of this one and I head over to this one, then I can go back to that one. And I'm like, you're making yourself absolutely crazy. What, how would you keep this simple? And it would be just to pick a few that I go to, and then I can always buy the recordings if I want to. You know, I want to make things complicated. That's my natural state. It's just I want to be perfect. I want to do it all. I want to see it all. And that just doesn't work for me. It ends up making myself crazy. And what happens is I get super frustrated and agitated, and then I want to eat, or I want to restrict, or I want to do something to hurt myself. And that doesn't work for me anymore. So keeping it simple for me is really all about sustainability. And it's about maintenance, and it's about just doing things one day at a time or 1 minute at a time and not making myself crazy. Because in the past, I would freak myself out, stress myself out, and go right towards the food. And keeping it simple helps me to bring that back in, so I'm not doing that anymore. You know, another example of that is, I want to do everything, I want to see everything. Like if I'm on a vacation or visiting someplace new, it's like I try to figure out how I'm going to do it all. Like the first time I traveled to Europe with my partner, I drug him everywhere because I had to see everything. And I made myself crazy. And, you know, I learned that what would keeping it simple look like? It would look like doing one thing in a day, you know, seeing one place in a day, and then having time to just relax and take it easy. And I can get really wrapped up in how I want others to perceive me. Like, I went on this vacation, I did all these great things, look how great I am. When the reality is that I don't even want to do all those things. Like, I was living my life as a great big checklist. So I could tell you everything that I'm doing so you would think that I'm cool. And I wasn't living in the moment. And I wasn't enjoying half of the things I was doing because I was too busy trying to check it all off and do it. And I wasn't present, and that wasn't any fun for me. And so how that relates to keeping it simple is, like, keeping it simple is focusing on me and focusing on what I like to do and what's manageable for me. And, like, when I go on, like, to vacation, I don't really want to do much, maybe see one or two things, but I want to lay on a beach, and that's not exciting. But that's exactly what I need. Or I want to sit in a cafe, and I'm one of those people who I love to sit in a cafe and do program work and just people watch. And to me, that is just so much fun, and that's keeping it simple. You know, focusing on my recovery and what I enjoy to do and taking it easy, because I need to live my life for me and not for other people. And so much of my life, I think I heard that, was living my life towards for other people, or what I thought they wanted me to do and how I thought I could please them. And that, you know, led me right into the food because I felt frustrated and resentful. And I was miserable, and that didn't work for me. And so now it's like I focus on, you know, how can I live my life in a sustainable way that is manageable, and that's things that I enjoy, and how can I keep things simple? And so some other things that I wrote is by having an action plan. Like, that was one of the tools that was introduced a few years ago. And at first I thought it was supposed to be all about exercise, and when I realized that it wasn't, I was like, okay, good. And for me, what it means is that I only have to do today the things that I actually need to do today. And for me, that's always, like, number one is working my program. Like, anything I do above that is just kind of like gravy, you know, because my primary responsibility in my life is to work my program and to maintain my abstinence. And then everything else on top of that is just an extra gift. And so this program teaches me that, okay, that's my number one priority. And then my second priority can be, you know, whatever it is else that needs to get done that day, but that actually needs to get done today. And keeping it simple for me is like, you know, I don't have to do everything today. You know, what's most important? You know, my sponsor always says, do hard things first. And typically it's the hard stuff that I want to put off. But when I do that first, then I get it out of the way. And for me, that's part of keeping it simple. Like, obsessing about things compulsively is not keeping it simple for me. So for me, it's like, okay, what actually needs to get done today? Because I can get wrapped up in, like, you know, 3 months from now, I need to, you know, I'm going to have to do this. So I'm going to do it right now. in addition to all these other things. And it's like, you know, that doesn't actually have to happen today. I can, you know, not be perfect and not get it all done, and that's going to be okay. I also like to keep it simple with my food plan. You know, when I first came into the program, keeping it simple meant actually creating a food plan for the day that was something that I could follow. Like, I thought, oh, you know what, I hate cooking, right? But I thought I had to have a food plan where I, like, cook these extravagant dinners, and I was chopping and shopping and all these vegetables and whatnot, and I hate doing that. And it's like, that's not keeping it simple for me. That's making it hard and difficult. And, you know, keeping it simple is a bag of frozen vegetables that I can put in the freezer and steam them. Not put in the microwave and steam them, and then they're done. You know, for me, it's like, how can I make this? Because it was hard enough for me to come in and, like, get a food plan and be asked to follow it. And so it's like I had to make it easier for myself. And how could I do that? And having, like, pre-cooked foods was super simple for me. Or even just doing things like cooking my entire food for the week and then just having to cook, like, heat up leftovers during the week was keeping it simple. Because, you know, when it came down to that moment, like, I don't want to cook. But I want to eat food that is healthy for me, and I want to be able to follow my food plan. You know, and so it's like, how do I keep it simple? I pray, and then I just eat what's on my food plan, what I've committed to my sponsor that day, and not change it as much as I might want to, because making changes makes things more complicated for me. Some people are really super fine with making decisions in the moment around their food. For me, I wasn't. That made it really hard for me, because I would be like, I want this, I want this, I don't know what I want. And so having that food plan was like, wow. You know, it's like, I already know everything that I'm going to have for today. I don't have to make any choices or any decisions. Like, for me, it couldn't get any simpler than that. And it was just so, it was so comforting to me to know that, like, no matter what happened in a day, I already had this food plan put together. You know, and if the shit hit the fan, it was like, I knew what I was going to have for lunch. Because, like, and especially in the beginning, I'd have feelings. I actually couldn't even really recognize that I had feelings. I just had physical things that were happening in my body and anger and frustration. And it would be like, I just want to eat everything in sight. And if I didn't have that food plan, I would have done that. And so for me, having that food plan and having that plan of action for the day really helps me to focus on what is it that I just really need to do. And that to me is really keeping it simple, because I can get bogged down in the all the minutiae that's happening in my life, all the things that are happening at work, and so much of it is not important. So that just brings me back into the present and what it is that I actually need to do. I also can get really wrapped up in how I think things are supposed to be. You know, for example, we just passed through the holiday seasons, and I'm Italian, and for Christmas, you know, on Christmas Eve, we do the seven fishes, and that is a freaking lot of food to cook. And, you know, Christmases and holidays are always a ton of family at my house. And this year, I decided that's not how I want to do it. You know, like, and so my partner and I did not visit my family. I did not do any cooking whatsoever. I kept the holidays super simple for me. And we just went out to eat and took the dog to the dog park for a few hours. And that, to me, felt so sane and so comfortable, because I was doing what it is I needed to do to take care of myself instead of putting myself in a crazy situation. You know, and keeping it simple for me is like keeping it sane. And that's kind of what I needed to do. You know, for Thanksgiving, we actually did have people over. And I was like, do I really need to cook like a multi-course dinner? No. You know, it can be super simple. Everything fit in that bag with the turkey, and that was good enough. You know, and then we opened a can of greens, and it was fine. And that was what we served, and people were happy. I was happy, and it was easy. And I tend to want to make things more complicated, maybe because I might want to impress you and show you, like, what an extravagant thing I've done. And, you know, that's just not important anymore. You know, what's important for me is focusing on the relationships and the people that I'm with, and not so much in the impressing people and trying to manage their feelings. And so, you know, that to me is keeping it simple as well. So I'm focusing on small, manageable tasks, and not focusing on, like, a huge picture. And I don't know if, well, let me give you another example. You know, right now we're remodeling our apartment, and I think about electricians and plumbers and carpenters and painters and people putting in new carpet, and when I think of all that stuff, I get super overwhelmed. And my sponsor said to me, well, how are you going to keep this simple? And I'm like, well, I have no fucking clue, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I've never done anything like this before. I've never owned anything before. I don't know what the hell is going on. And so, like, I prayed, meditated, and asked God for help. I'm like, God, what do? How do I make this so I don't make myself absolutely crazy? And, you know, his suggestion was break it down into super small steps. And I was like, huh. And so he said, ask for help and break it into small steps. And that's what I did. You know, I found somebody who could do the design stuff, because I don't know. You know, I don't know what looks good. I mean, I have an idea, but, like, you want me to pick out paint colors and all this stuff? Like, no. That's not my forte. And so, like, I asked for help. And this person was able to help me, connect me with all the people that I need to be connected to. And then I was able to just kind of arrange things to happen one at a time. And it was like, you know, it could happen all at once, but that would make me absolutely crazy. And so, like, one person's coming in one day, one person's coming in the next day, and that's kind of how I need to live my life, is just one thing at a time, because I'm trying to do it all at once. I'm running around the room like a crazy person, chicken with the head off type of thing, and when I'm doing that, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious, and I'm thinking about food. And that doesn't work for me. And so keeping it simple is focusing just on that next right action, whatever that might be, whether it's getting out of bed and taking a shower, or getting down on my knees and praying, or if it's making that phone call to schedule that next thing. Because when I'm doing just one simple action, it seems so easy. But when I'm thinking about the entire big picture, I can really freak myself out. And, you know, that's not where I want to be, you know. If I want to be of sane and happy usefulness to others, then for me, it's like I need to be in the present, I need to be calm, and I need to be focused. And when I'm a crazy person, you know, I can't do God's will. You know, I can't hear God's will, and I can't be of service. And so these small little actions just really help me to, like, stay focused. And some little note things that I wrote down are, you know, God, please help me to keep it simple. You know, because I forget that, you know, it's God's will and not my will, and that sometimes I have ideas about how things should be, but, like, for me, it's like I need to pause and be like, well, is this really God's will for me? Because sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes I'm making things super complicated, and, like, if I just take a moment and pause and ask my higher power for direction, sometimes I'm getting, like, a different picture than what I'm actually envisioning. And I have to allow space in for that. You know, because there's part of me that just thinks, like, I'm a compulsive person. Like, just go. Just do it. And that doesn't always work for me. I can often get myself into trouble that way. And so, like, I'm learning that sometimes keeping it simple means being a little bit slower and being a little bit more thoughtful on what it is that I'm doing. Is that it? Okay, and I'll wrap up. And so for me, like, I think the most important thing on keeping it simple is, you know, keep my recovery simple. I go to 3 or 4 meetings a week. I sponsor. I have a sponsor. I do service. I have a food plan. I write almost every day, and I do what my sponsor tells me, you know, and I just show up. And that's all I have to do. And it's fairly simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And I'm so grateful for it, because of this program, my life has completely changed. And one day at a time, I get to abstain from a disease that at one point was killing me. And now I have, you know, I have that period of, whatchamacallit, you get a daily reprieve, and I'm living in that, and that's pretty amazing. So that's all I have to share. Thank you so much. Okay, so the meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit to your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. And this meeting will end at 10:55. And please remember that if you use your name and your share to please sign this yellow sheet of paper, it is the release form. All right. Who would like to share?
Hi, I'm Victor, compulsive overreader. It's been said by many people before me that this is a simple program for complex people, and I will give you an example of that. My father taught me a little bit about carpentry, and at some times in my life, I've actually made a living by doing some of that. And I'm not going to try and, I'm not here to teach you how to be a carpenter, but Jesus is an example. It doesn't really matter, but let's just simply say something had to be changed with the door or the frame in this particular room, any room, it didn't really matter. And I was in a situation like that where essentially my boss said, this is what you need to do. And so I went over there and I started doing it. And of course, I took this whole fun thing out and started measuring everything exactly and putting it, as they say, you know, measure twice, cut once. And the reason I mentioned that, this was beginning to become something akin to trying to figure out how to build the Great Wall of China. When all we really needed to do was have a little piece of wood there to be able to shim something out so we could put something else on top of it so it would fit flush with what we were doing. And I was going on, and this is 10, 15, 20 minutes or so, and my boss kept looking at me and saying, are you finished yet? I said, no. And I knew, he said, yes, you are, and he came over to this. And most people think of a hammer, which you have a little claw in that you pull the nails out of the wall. He took the hammer, took the piece of wood, cracked it on the top, split it down the middle, nailed it, and that was probably done in about 15 seconds. But it wasn't the right way to do it in my mind because it had to be perfect, and I had to check every single little angle, make sure everything was exactly right on something that would never be seen ever unless somebody tore the place down. And that's what I would spend in my life, is I would spend a lot of time to figure it out. And the reason that I was doing that was so that I could figure out how to do it in such a way that you would like me, but most particularly so you wouldn't look at me cross-eyed. And so somehow I'd have to do it so that the results would be something that wouldn't hurt me. And one of the things I've learned from this program is very similar to that piece of wood, is that there are some things that really don't take a lot of thought. I get up in the morning, I do my meditation, I then get down on my knees and pray, and that's all I really need to do, is turn my will and my life over at the beginning of the day, and by 10 o'clock when I'm starting to take that back again is to repeat those things again. Just like it says, you know, somebody's sponsor in another program said something to the effect is that whenever you have a really great idea, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Because most of my great ideas involve all of these complex thoughts that really, in most cases, really don't get me anywhere. They're just running in place. Whereas right now, when I'm allowed myself to be brought down and to be calm and to be serene about it, most of the time, the answers are relatively there sitting in my face, and it's made available by my higher power whenever I want it. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Cindy, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for your share. I greatly identified with it. I'm finding that my ability to keep it simple is directly proportional to my serenity and my overall program. And I am trying to give myself grace and, you know, let the hyper-controlling go and really keep it forefront in keeping it simple. I have a busy life thanks to my recovery, problems of abundance, and yet I will overthink things, overcomplicate what could be just simply a straightforward, simple, you know, solution. I have to very much work at my relationship with my higher power in order to keep this, you know, the slogan, keep it simple, in my head, because I can come home and immediately tear my place apart mentally. This place is filthy. This, you know, I haven't done laundry. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. And it extends to my program as well. I can overthink it. Oh my God, I'm so behind. My head will start racing. I need to be writing more, and she's going to be expecting it. And it's like, no, it's 1 minute at a time. You'll do it in what's in front of you. And it's all interlinked. And that's what I'm finding out. And again, just, serenity level, contingent upon my relationship with my higher power, gives me the ability to keep it simple and give myself grace, whether it's at work. You know, how can I lighten this load? The holidays, you talked about the holidays. Same thing, did the same thing. But we did not do the big feasts and the hyper presence and the hyper giving and the, it's like streamline it. People want your company. They want the relationships, the people that I surround myself with. We want, you know, the, what comes with, keeping it simple and straightforward and not, again, spinning out of control. And my holidays were pretty terrific. And it wasn't all about the show and, you know, so on and so forth. But anyways, I really appreciate this topic. And again, thank you for your share.
Hi, I'm Joe. I'm a compulsive over and under eater.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thank you really so much for your share. It was really good, and I got a lot of great ideas out of, and it's a good reminder. Because when I came into program, I kept nothing simple at all, and I complicated things. I would think about it, and then do nothing. And, you know, in the beginning, keeping it simple was just going to meetings all the time. And now, like work, I had a ton of work stuff. Everything felt off balance for a while. And keeping it simple was just adding one additional meeting a week and seeing how that balances things. Because at one point when I first came out of relapse, I needed a 90, and I needed six. I did almost a meeting a day for 6 months. And that little bit, keeping it simple for me, also is having almost the same breakfast every day and measuring the breakfast. There's only one part that has to be measured in my breakfast, but at least one day a week, my disease, my brain tells me it's too much to measure one tablespoon. And it's weird because that little step is keeping it simple, and it frees up my brain. And because of my schedule and stuff, I don't cook that much, and I do get food out a lot. And at the places that I do, there's food. I have basic foods from each place that are easy. I know they work, and that's another way to sort of just keep things easy, simple. I don't have to think about it. And like my food... My food plan is flexible, but I sort of eat the same. To some people, it would be boring because I tend to eat the same things over and over, but they seem to work, and they've worked for a long time. And what else? There's a woman in San Francisco who's also a trainer, and I was complicating things where I had to do X, Y, and Z with my exercise, and I was either doing too much or hurting myself. We're not doing any of it. And she had a talk with me, and she basically put it in the thing of not hurting myself with exercise, but using it as like a ninth step, but not hurting myself. And so there are certain things where I'll even say, it's okay if I just do X, which is just a small piece that might take 10 minutes. And that might be enough to help me do a half hour and whatever is within my limits, because I have exercise kind of issues also. And with work lately, I've been IMing or emailing one of my friends in program because my to-do list is literally like 70 items long at this point, and just saying two or three simple things. I send it to her, and then I check back in just like I used to do with the food. And it keeps me from, because in the past I would just, you know, not do any of it and just call out sick and, you know, stay in bed all day. And since I have my own business now, that doesn't work really well because I don't get paid. So I think that's it. Thank you again. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hi, Molly.
It's a great topic. I think I was sitting, listening, thinking, what does it mean to me? And I kept hearing, like, keep it simple, stupid. And not that my addict calls, I'm calling myself stupid, but just, you know, sort of the whole KISS idea, right? And I think what it is for me in my recovery is trusting my intuition, because my intuition is really my higher power. And when my gut tells me immediately what's in my best interest, if I don't trust that, then I don't think that I'm following my higher power's will for me. And so it's very, very, you know, it's very important that I follow my intuition. I never thought when I first come into program I'd become like, I'd have the, and I'm not doing it alone clearly, but that I'd become an intuitive eater. And so, you know, to have that little nudge inside me, which oftentimes feels physical, that says like, that's enough, or I'm feeling emotionally vulnerable, so it's not in my best interest to go over to what it might, like my sister-in-law's place, you know, hungry. I have to kind of check in and see what my emotional temperature is. And so, you know, I don't think the program is simple at all. I think that if it was simple, I'd get by on just having willingness. But I can't, but I, you know, left to my own devices, am very good at complicating things. So the way that the way that things work for me and the program works for me is to just have a checklist and just check in, you know, with my sponsor and be of service to others and know that if my sponsees, for instance, don't check in with me, it's not about me. But when I don't check in with my sponsor, it is about me. And I have something to look at. And I tend to want to live in vagueness and a false reality, but yet I don't want rigidity. And so when I find myself going, I don't want to commit to this and I don't want to commit to that, then my program falls through the cracks. So there's a simplicity, which is do the next right thing. And if I stumble, I'm not back in relapse. I'm not suicidal, that it's very much the cliche of progress, not perfection. So just getting back, do the right thing, be as rigorously honest as I can, and be of service to someone, you know, someone else. So thanks for listening.
My name's Jim. Is this thing on? Anyway, I'm a bulimic, a overeater, and simplicity is not a word in my vocabulary. It's a rule. Everything is. I can screw everything up. But tonight I had a very simple little experience. I had dinner not with the rest of you at the Hoi Polloi over there at the thing, but I had dinner over in the thing, and I walked out of the dinner. It was simple when I quit throwing up. I quit throwing up 20-some years ago, and I'd thrown up for 20 years. I found a real simple way not to quit throwing up after all those years that I couldn't. Which was that I learned to go to bed angry, wanting to throw up, with the option that when I woke up in the morning, if I was still pissed off and angry, I would throw up. Because I always considered it to be, truly, believe me, it would be a very violent and a self-mutilating sort of act. But tonight, I had dinner, and I walked out of there, and I don't know, what came into my mind was the fact that there's a little gift shop over there that had a bunch of things that I'd like to, for some reason, I don't get this feeling very often. The simplest thing I could do is come out here and sit in the chair and not move in the chair until somebody came out to rescue me. Well, so the you know, the simplest things I never do. I mean, you know, when I'm on the verge of going crazy, you know, I wouldn't think of picking up a telephone. I'd rather drive 25 miles to find some kind of, you know, absolutely outrageously, you know, fantasy of a restaurant that I know when I walk in and spend $85 on dinner is going to taste like shit by the time I'm through. But I'd rather do that than, you know, than take 10 seconds out to pick up a telephone and say, hey, I feel like doing this. And my sponsor will say, you know, well, I got a real prick for a sponsor. Anyway, I didn't pick him. Yeah, I've had success in this program when I don't think, like, when I found out I was diabetic, you know, I went to another program, and the first thing I did is found a guy with the most, you know, the biggest mouth and the most obvious, you know, the one that everybody else looked up to. And I walked up to him and I said, all right, pick me a sponsor. And he did. And it worked, you know, for a while. What killed it, of course, is that, you know, several weeks or several months later, he, because I was in really good shape. Then he told the guy that the guy couldn't sponsor me anymore because that guy had a slip. And so, of course, I lost, and I couldn't find anybody else. But that's a real simple thing to do, is just to have somebody sign you a sponsor, because I can't think for myself anyway. And if I was a good judge of people, I don't know. Of course, maybe my wife was just as bad a judge as I was. But anyway, so I don't know. I'm just up here to. I was up here to rescue the silence because I was about to say Kaddish if somebody didn't open their mouth quickly. Thank you.
I'm Phyllis. I'm a compulsive overeater. I keep thinking about my last share and how bad I felt for what I shared and how I ended it. So I thought I'd try to make up for it this time, not be the last one. And I have this tendency to really complicate things. I don't see it coming, but I know it at a certain point. Especially when I lose people or, you know, and I feel like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I could either see it in your eyes or hear it. And what I wanted to say earlier was that one of the things I wanted to do by coming here was to get a sponsor. I had a sponsor. When I first started here, like in September, I was great for the first 30 or so days, great. And then I wasn't, because there was one day that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And then that was it. That's all it took for me to start doing that every day. And my sponsor and I became kind of friends, so you're not supposed to do that. And so I'm really happy to say in the meet and greet today, I found a sponsor, and I actually think she's going to be really great for me. I thought maybe she was going to be too nice, too whatever, and it, just from talking to her afterwards, it sounds like she may be the perfect match for me. And what I started to share earlier is that I went to the restaurant, and this is what I've been doing all along, is I'm just going to eat whatever I want to eat because I haven't gotten back into it. And so that's what I did at dinner, and I had this big hamburger, and then, you know, instead of fries I had salad. But then, and then I had ice cream, and I thought, oh my God, I hope nobody, you know, judges me. They see my ticket here. And, but I did it, and it's like I'm preparing to get back on the program, and I'm really excited about my sponsor and I do want to learn how to make things simple and I forgot what the acronym is, but what I've heard is it's Keep It Simple, Sweetie. So.
Hi, I'm Lois, a recovering compulsive overeater. Good topic. I am the master at making it complicated. I've been using food so that I don't have to do the work. I have to clean my bathroom. I have daddy long legs living in my bathroom. They're up in the corners, and I don't kill spiders, so I'm going to have to figure out a way of going and getting them and not losing them so I can take them outside so that they can live outside instead of in my bathroom. And I need to scour the sink and I need to scour the bathtub. And then I need to clean the curtains. So I'm going to have to figure out, I'm going to have to take a ladder in there. I'm going to have to get up there, clean the curtains. And then while I'm at it, I really should clean the curtains in my kitchen. So, okay, I'll do that, and then I'll go get the curtains in the kitchen, and then I'm going to have to put them on gentle cycle. And you know what? I'm probably going to run out of time. So I won't be able to do it. I'm just not going to be able to do it if the task is too complicated. And come walk in my brain for a while. And so I have decided that I'm going to start having a motto called Good Enough for Government Work. It's good enough for government work. So you know what? I'll just go ahead and scour the sink and call it good enough. And then you know what? Maybe one of these days I'll be able to get those four little daddy long legs that are living in the corners of my bathroom. And you know what? Maybe one day I'll be able to take those curtains down and wash them. But if I try to do it all at once, I'm not going to be able to do it, and I'm just going to want to go eat. So, anyway, that's my motto, good enough for government work.
So I'd like to share anonymously that I'm a compulsive eater, and just regarding the topic, I'd like to say that I've learned a lot from being in program in terms of the changes that I need to make. Some of them are bigger, but some of them are not that huge. Like, I've been really good at making checklists, and then I used to be really good at not doing them and just having this list of things that is just facing you, reminding you of all these things you need to do, but then not really getting through it. And one of the things that is pretty miraculous, I don't know why I thought of it just kind of now, was that I'm actually getting through the things that I need to get through, and it, I think, has a nice parallel to just some of the sayings here, where it really is just one step at a time, one thing at a time, one minute at a time sometimes in terms of food and not returning back to just unhealthy behaviors that I've done in the past. And I think that's all, but thank you so much for your share, and thanks, everyone.
It is now time to close the session. I'd like to thank those of you who gave service at the session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the third step prayer.
Thank you.